time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley are joined by Stephen Chapman from Microsoft Kitchen to talk about Blue. It's official. It's real. In fact, you can download it today, although you could go to jail for doing so. The details next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 305, recorded March 28th, 2013. Just the factoids. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Rackspace, the open cloud company. At Rackspace, build what you want, where you want, how you want, all backed by their world-renowned fanatical support. Try it today. Download the open cloud at rackspace.com/open. And by ShareFile. Enhance your workflow. Send files of almost any size easily and securely with ShareFile from Citrix. Try ShareFile today for a 30-day free trial. Go to ShareFile.com, click the radio microphone, and enter Windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show that covers your Microsoft interests, needs, wants, desires, hopes, and sometimes even fears, with Mr. Paul Thurrott of the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. Mary Jo Foley of allaboutmicrosoft.com, the ZDNet blog. Hello, lady and gentleman.
Hello. Hello, Leo.
This is going to be a big show today. Do you want to introduce your special guest who's standing right now in a soundproof booth? So say anything you want.
Undisclosed location.
Yes. He might need to be after what he's revealed. He's revealed.
Do you want to, Paul, or do you want me to?
I barely know this guy. I can sort of not stand him. You know, can't remember his name or what he does. I don't know.
It's on the lower third.
Who is this mystery gentleman?
Mystery gentleman signed from Microsoft Kitchen. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Stephen Chapman. Yep.
Stephen Chapman. And he's still in North Carolina?
Still in North Carolina, Charlotte. Yep.
And you've been in the news this week, boy.
I've been digging around.
He's a digger.
A little much this week, but
You're a digger. Well, shall we kick into Windows 8 Blue? Because we now, in fact, was this not the week, Mary Jo, that Microsoft said the word blue for the first time in public?
Yep, they did. How about that?
So we know you weren't lying all along.
No, it was funny. There was a computer world story this week that said, this word blue that bloggers like Mary Jo Foley and Paul Thurrott have been bandying about.
You bandiers. You're such bandiers.
If we randomly talk enough, what we say will be true.
I mean, it was just funny wording. It was nice they gave us a shout out, but it was odd wording, I thought.
Well, no more bandying. You were right.
Right. So Microsoft finally said the word blue publicly this week. And it was good timing because right before they said it, a few days before, is when Windows Blue leaked to the web.
Yeah. You can download it now.
Yeah.
And some have. You know,
this has screwed up my entire week, I have to say. It's with a mixture of excitement and dread. Well, no, I sat down in front of the computer on Sunday morning thinking, well, I got a little bit of work done and I'm done for the day. And then Blue leaked, and that was I've been working on this ever since. I blame Stephen.
And Stephen, do you want to talk about your role in this?
Yeah, I mean,
did you discover it? Did you discover it?
No. Same as Paul. I woke up Sunday morning. Someone was like, "Hey, Blue leaked." So immediately, I had to go grab it. And the first thing I wanted to do was search for references to Blue in the build, because there's no actual branding within it that says Blue. You know, it's Windows 8 still, because that's what it's going to be. But
it does have a nice blue label. It says Microsoft confidential unauthorized user disclosure in any manner may result in disciplinary action up to and including termination of an employment. Oh, I'm in trouble.
So where is this?
I think we're all kind of imagining like an Ilsa of the SS type scenario here.
You will hand over the blue. So is it on BitTorrent? Where did we find this? The Pirate Bay?
It's around. We probably shouldn't say.
Okay. It's around. Yeah, it's, and do we know where it came from? Obviously from within Microsoft.
Yeah. Now, who first leaked it? Was it a Polish site who wrote about the leak? Or
it was a Polish site.
I think they were the first ones to find it. I don't know who leaked it, but it's an internal build, supposedly just a few days old.
It looks like a partner. Doesn't it say the word partner in the build string?
You know, it does. Yes. But I asked somebody inside Microsoft about that, and they said even though it says partner, it actually was an actual engineering build from inside.
And you could tell the digits.
Yeah, the interesting thing about these leaked builds, and this was true during Windows 8 as well, is that unlike in the past, this pretty much is representative of where they're at. You know, like a lot of times, especially long foreign time frame, the leaked builds would be from one particular part of Microsoft, and they would only
be old,
show kind of part of what they were doing.
They'd be partial.
Yeah, it'd be from a specific team, you know. So whatever something would leak, and it would be from this part of Microsoft, and we'd see this kind of stuff, but the other stuff hadn't changed. And I'm thinking that, and maybe Stephen has a different idea here with Mary Jo, but I've been thinking that this thing is actually fairly representative of what we're going to see in blue, you know, when it ships in final form.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of fascinating to me. I was thinking about this build and just thinking about Windows Blue in general. It's almost like it's not a service pack. It's more than that, but it's not really anything they've done before, but I mean, they did change the minor number on the version, so it's
which is
it's a significant
unusual
change.
Yeah.
So, what makes you think this is final or close to?
Well, just based on history. So, if you look at Windows 8, in fact, it's really instructive to do this. You can go back and look at the videos that Microsoft has of their developer preview, their consumer preview events. You can look at the way they described Windows 8. You can look at the product they showed. And then you can compare it to what's out today. And it's like, you know, actually, this is they never really – there were no big bang surprises coming down the road. Like, they pretty much showed what they had early on and then kind of delivered on that. And if we assume that the current team is following in the footsteps of the Sanofsky way of doing things, which I think we would agree they are, that suggests to me that this is fairly representative of what we're going to see.
Do we know if this is a free update, if this is a paid update? Do we know –
No, we don't know that.
Nope. We don't know. We also don't know the name, although they did say this week, Microsoft said it's not going to be blue, obviously.
Service Pack probably, 1?
Nah, probably something like Windows 8 point something is my bet, because it's going to have a Windows 8 connection somehow.
I bet it's just Windows 8. I mean, because the other half of this is, they can't really, the reason I think they won't charge for this is, if this thing came out and it was even a $10 upgrade, it would immediately fragment the market for something that is fairly fragile, which is, you know, that market for Windows 8 devices. There's going to be new APIs to take advantage of new features in blue. And it doesn't make sense to force developers to divide up an already pretty small market into two smaller markets and, you know, write this. Here's some apps that target, you know, this Windows 8, you know, 0.0. Here's some apps that target Windows 8.5 or whatever. I actually don't see a scenario where they don't just give this away because, and this is just a guess, you know, it's not based on any inside information, but just because it would so fragment what is already a nascent market. I think that this has to become the baseline.
STC in the chat room suggests Windows 8.11 for work groups.
Yes.
Yep.
That'd be a good name.
Right.
Kind of a little nostalgic.
Hopefully you can turn on 32 bits, you know, 32 bits of
So I guess we should talk about what's in it. What's different? What's new? How has it changed?
Well, I mean, aside from specific things, I think the general thing I would say about this leak of blue is that it is a refinement of the Metro interfaces that debuted in Windows 8. It really takes that stuff further. And there's, I think, honestly, the big thing that I see is an elimination of many of the existing needs to use the desktop, you know, specifically the control panel interfaces. That stuff is not complete in this build, but you can see that they're dramatically improving and increasing the capabilities of that PC settings interface, which is the Metro version of control panel.
Is that the chief complaint people have about Windows 8, which is that it's
no, it's not. No, I mean, in other words, there's one school of thought from people who think, you know, they need to do exactly what they are doing here.
Yeah.
Push that Metro stuff forward so we don't need the desktop anymore. And then there's an equally sized audience, maybe even more people who think, you know, wait, hold on a second. Why is the desktop going away?
They're saying wrong direction.
Or the desktop is not going away. You're crazy for saying that. Right. Why isn't the desktop being improved? And, you know, I guess it depends. If you were hoping that Blue would bolster the desktop stuff, so far at least, it's pretty disappointing.
It doesn't surprise me. Both, you know, we've been talking about this for some time, how Windows 8 felt like two great operating systems melded together. And there was this, you know, and it's always been my issue is, well, am I using the Metro, the modern version of the app or a desktop version? Where's the control panel I need? Is it here or is it here? So it always seemed to me that was a legacy thing that Microsoft would probably fade out. And is that what the indication is?
Well, not yet, but. Yeah, to some degree. A little, pushing a little more to the Metro side. Right. You know, the problem with Metro is that it's immature and incomplete. And so if you look at the
That's
way Windows
like
8
me. So well, I don't, I, that means it's me. It's made for me.
You can only hope for maturity with age, you know.
And incomplete.
But there's just weirdnesses to it because we're not used to it yet. So when you're staring at the start screen and you want to customize the start screen, in today's version of Windows 8, you can. There's like a tile interface that's very basic. But if you want to actually configure that start screen, you have to dive into PC settings. You have to know where you're going. And so, you know, they fix that kind of thing. So that from the interface you're looking at, you can change the settings. And there are more settings. And but it's happening right there. You don't have to go into some crazy deep interface.
I think one thing worth talking about, too, is how much Blue is looking like Windows Phone now.
Wow.
Yeah.
The resizable tiles are coming to Windows Blue, which is pretty cool. I like that feature a lot on my Windows Phone. And there's even the capability to swipe down and power down the way that you can on the phone coming too. So that's interesting.
Right.
It's interesting because I remember both Paul and I talked a lot about we wished that the operating system that had come out on the Surface and tablets was Windows Phone. And it's almost like, okay, well, now it's going to look a lot more like Windows Phone.
Is it more than cosmetic? Is it also APIs under the hood development? Will it be? Is this going to be the beginning of a merger of RT
totally
Phone?
Cosmetic, Leo, totally cosmetic. No, well, we don't know that part yet. So right. One of the other things that's happening is that they've discussed a build conference that's occurring this summer
in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So
we should do our show from there.
What I have heard is that the SDK, at least a first version of it, will occur then. And that SDK, of course, will support all those new features and everything. So whether the SDK is some kind of aligning of the Windows Phone and Windows 8 SDKs as they currently are, I have no idea. Presumably, they keep getting closer. Right? We've talked about that kind of stuff, but we'll see.
And you and Stephen, you found a lot of references to Blue in Blue, so it's. But they're not going to use that name, Blue.
No, they're definitely not. One thing that is interesting to me with this whole Windows 8 beginning to look, you know, more like mobile or Windows Phone is, I also think they're going to take it in the direction of Xbox as well, the next Xbox for like one unified user interface between all their major products and maybe even to the extent of apps between all of them. So that got me looking for things in this build related to, you know, Xbox or the next Xbox or whatever. Unfortunately, I didn't find anything, but that's one sort of vision I'm, you know, keeping an eye on. So
I think he's right on that. Even when Windows Phone 7 first shipped about, you know, less than 2 years ago. Over 2 years ago. They were talking up this notion that Steven's talking about in a less developed form, which was that, in fact, they showed a game where they said, you know, this is a game that was written in XNA. It was written for the Xbox. It was ported very easily to Windows using XNA. And now, because Windows Phone at the time supported XNA for games, it was ported to Windows Phone. And they talked about the differences and how they didn't really have to rewrite that much.
Thank goodness they kept XNA around for that.
Well, no, but flash forward to the current situation.
Is there another way to do it now?
Yeah, there is. So they in Windows 8,
that's
in
a really good move on their part.
No, they have
something better.
I don't know if it's better, but a different, presumably DirectX/C++ API. And that's actually the one area where Windows Phone apps, really games, but let's just say apps, and Windows 8 apps can be basically the same exact thing. That there are minor, very minor changes you might have to make to the phone version of that app or game, usually along the lines of scaling the screen to the resolutions that Windows Phone supports and so on. But that transition is very easy now. And if Steven's right, and I think he is, that the next Xbox will support this as well.
And it doesn't become like enthusiasts. A lowest common denominator where you...
Well, no, hopefully what you have is some 95 or 90% of the app or game that's the same, and then you rewrite parts of it for the specifics of the target. And so maybe the Xbox version could support voice control and Kinect, you know, or a hand controller. The phone and the tablet version of the game could be multi-touch, right. You know, that kind of thing.
And we've already had hints about this happening with Windows 8 and Windows Phone. They've been talking about the Write Once Anywhere idea and how they've already taken into account the different screen resolutions. So it's just something they can kind of do it in a fairly easy and not easy, but more minor way that they're trying to make it. So if you're a developer and you want to target both platforms, it gets way easier to do that.
Unless you just spent the past 5 years learning XNA.
You're screwed no matter what. So. There's a lot of people learning Flash, too. That's too late for that.
Sure.
So you found a bunch of SKUs, it looks like, Stephen. Windows Blue SKUs, which I like saying.
Yes.
Blue SKUs.
Yes. That's, you know, as MJ pointed out in a post that she did, some of those specific SKU names, the server ones in particular, those were nixed, and there are a couple of different names in their place. But basically, this was, you know, good evidence to show that Blue is spanning more than just, you know, client. And, you know, the interesting mention that I found, too, was that Windows RT Blue, you know, there's the talk of, are they going to merge them? What's going to happen with that? And this reference may just be more temporary stuff that you find in these pre-release builds. But, you know, either way, it's interesting seeing all these individual mentions and some of these files.
Steven, can you move your mic up or down a little bit? I think it's rubbing against your beard.
Beginning. Steven, could you shave your beard off, please?
I think I know what it is. I've got a little fan that I keep
on. Oh, it could be the fan blowing on it. Yeah. That's what
this
it sounds like.
This is like the Yankees, Steven. You have to lose the facial hair.
That's all right. Just send it out our way. The Giants have done pretty well with facial hair this last few years. Okay. So this really is a Windows-wide update here, as we thought it would be.
Even beyond that, actually, right, Mary Jo? I mean, she's identified a number of
Hadoop Blue
product lines.
Dare I say
crazy?
yeah. There's a lot of different ones that we've talked about. So this is Windows Client Blue that leaked this week. There's Windows Server Blue that we just discussed. Then there's also Windows Services Blue, which we haven't really heard much about. So that's going to be blue versions of Outlook.com, probably SkyDrive. Maybe some other services.
Will that just be a cosmetic change, or do you think they'll be under the hood?
I think it'll
changes?
Be more.
More than
I think
that.
It's going to be more than that. I think everything's going to get a pretty hefty update and refresh around the time of Blue. And then there's Windows Phone Blue.
Except for Calendar, of course.
Yeah. Of course. Calendar is just going to stay non-metro forever. That's it. It's just doing that. And then Windows Phone Blue is another one that it'll be interesting to see how much they say at Build about that, since they haven't really talked about it at all. But that's probably like a late 2013, early 2014 thing from what I've heard. So Blue is like this window of things that are coming over a series of months. It's not just going to be on one day everything blue shows up, but it's going to be within a few months of each other, probably.
Do you think it's conceivable Microsoft leaked this on purpose just to answer everybody's questions?
I wondered.
It's a fast way to do that, isn't it? They knew you three would be going, well, wait.
They're not that crafty.
No, you know why I wondered that? I wondered that because it leaks, and then 2 days later, they talk publicly about Blue.
Yeah, and they announced Build.
Build is revealed, right? Yeah. I know.
Well, those things could be tied, though, because, you know, if you think about it, then maybe they reached some internal milestone, and, you know, those things are, in fact, sort of related, you know. No. This is, you know, we are designed to see conspiracy theory.
Yeah. It's a human flaw. Some would say feature.
Building 7, Leo, that's all I'm saying. Building 7.
What's in there? The truth will be revealed. It's out there somewhere.
How could a plane that is 160 feet wide make a hole that is only 20 feet?
That's John C. Dvorak question. He's like, it was the most recently, it was the asteroids that hit, or the comet or whatever it was that hit Russia. Sure. It made a perfect hole in the ice. That's not possible.
Let me make, actually, since we're on this topic, let me just make one general statement about this. I used to work in banking, and I was involved in at least, I want to say, 5 bank robberies on the other side. You know, not the robbie, not the robber, I guess, but the robbie.
Please, let's make that clear, yes.
Yeah.
I have a gub. But
yeah, the one bit of knowledge I can sort of relay about that is that people's understanding of what happened, the way they remember it, the way that they write it down and describe it is horribly wrong all the time.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Eyewitnesses are notoriously wrong because they're in shock.
And if you, once you get people talking to each other, if you actually allow two people to interact, it's gone.
The story begins.
Yep.
The legend of Paul Thurrott. That's how it got started, folks. Right. I saw a man come in green tights.
Yeah, I've chased a robber out of a bank, Leo.
No, Paul, it's not your money. I think you could stop doing that.
No,
I did that once. I worked at a record store, and I chased a shoplifter, like, down the block.
Then you realize halfway down the block, like, what am I doing?
What am I, an idiot? It's not my, I couldn't care less. It's not my record. And he could kill me for this.
He literally had his, like, finger in his shirt, you know, like a fake gun.
Yeah, that's what happens. You get pissed off. It's like, not in my house, you moron. Yeah. I can tell. That's just your finger. I've been listening to a very good book about money, about cash, about the end of money. Yeah. You know, I can't remember what the figure was. In 2010, there was something like 10,000 bank robberies, none of which would happen or will happen once they get rid of cash.
Interesting.
Think about it.
Interesting.
16 people died, mostly robbers.
What's going to happen instead is people's... IDs are going to be stolen,
right.
You know, along with all your electronic data.
It's cleaner. It's simpler. No one gets hurt, and you can't chase them out of the bank. Think of it that way.
I don't know. I mean, it's almost worse when it is your money.
Right.
I mean, if you think about it, because you don't want to run into that person.
Yeah. It's a really interesting book, The End of Money. Highly recommended. All right. But
it starts with the penny.
Yeah. The penny, okay. The nickel costs 6 cents to make, you know.
I know. It's good.
Oh, wow.
The penny costs more than a penny.
Are you suggesting that we could solve the deficit right here today on this show?
Well, there's also seniorage. And one of the real issues is the $100 bill, which is almost exclusively used by drug dealers.
Las Vegas ATM machines.
Yeah. I don't know why they give you hundreds. That's the only other place I've ever seen one. But the Benjamins. But everybody talks about the Benjamins. 97% of it's not even in the U.S. anymore. It's held in Swiss bank vaults because, you know, bad guys like cash.
Let's call them in, you know, like we did with the Confederate money.
The U.S. has never called in Federal Reserve banknotes.
Well, they could.
We're the one country in the world that wants to preserve the impression that a banknote is forever. You could still cash in a silver certificate, use it to buy stuff, and that's why they're very reluctant to do that. Hmm. But you know what's the biggest? I don't know how we got on this topic. The biggest.
Sorry.
Welcome, Steve. Just so you know, this is this show. I derail it.
I told you. It's going to feel like an eternity.
I derail it constantly. The biggest drug note is the 500 euro. What are you going to do with a 500 euro note? I'd like a baguette.
I'll use it as wallpaper, Leo. I don't know what you use it for.
All right. Back to, is there more to say about Blue? Anything else? Hidden charms being surfaced, says Paul Thurrott.
Actually, I didn't say that.
Mary Jo said it. Well, she of all the visible charms. What is being surfaced?
So what, one of the things,
I like that choice of words. I just got it.
I know. That was good. One of
she
the
does
things
look
that
way
people,
better than I do, by the way. It's really
there's nothing I can do
I'm
about
like
that,
glowing.
Paul.
I'm
She's glowing.
She's like so contrasty and well, colorful. You're like a Wizard of Oz movie. Like, I'm the black and white part.
You look
and
like
you're
Twilight.
You're the part where it explodes in the color.
She looks like Glinda. You look like you're in Twilight.
I thought you had like a blue screen over your webcam.
We're going to get him a better camera. In fact, it has already been done, Paul. Nice. Expect an Amazon delivery.
I always do. Anyway, Mary Jo, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. Back to charms. And being charming.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that people have found somewhat confusing about Windows 8, not everyone, some people, is the charms, right? They don't always realize, like, you have to swipe in when you're in a certain app and how to find search, how to find this, how to find that. So it seems like another thing that's happening with Blue is Microsoft's going to give us some more visual cues about, okay, here's, you know, click on this and the search charm will open, which is really good because I think this is one of the more confusing things they did with Windows 8 for the average person. It's they don't always know swipe in, swipe left, swipe right, up, down. They don't know what any of this means. So this is good. This is another good thing they're doing with Blue.
Yeah, this also
I agree 100%. The charms confuse the hell out of me.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, if you were to go back to the original Windows Phone OS, the way that the search functionality worked in there, which is sort of like a charm, you know, it's a hardware button on every phone,
right.
Is it would be context sensitive. So if you were in the mail app, you'd tap search and it would go into search. It would search your email. And to me, that always made plenty of sense. But then when 7.5 came out, they got rid of that. And the way that search works now is it's just a, like it goes to Bing. And so anyone who has a Windows phone is constantly looking at the Bing app because they hit the search button by mistake. And it's kind of one of the weird things about Windows Phone. But there are indications in some of the apps that we see that were updated this week and in Blue that maybe they're almost, you know, not that they're getting away from system-wide search, but rather that they're understanding that people aren't discovering this stuff. You know, and so you see these little UI changes that are reminiscent of what they did in Windows Phone where maybe that thing needs to be in the app, you know, so that people know to find it.
I thought for a while that some keyboards, Windows keyboards, will have a charms buttons. I know some do, but mine does not. I still have to do
really? It. Really? The Acer doesn't? Are you sure?
No. I do Windows C, which is the charms.
Yeah, they don't have them right at the top, like at the function key?
I don't see it, no.
Interesting.
Well, it's a laptop. You know, there's not a lot of room. Maybe on a desktop keyboard you'd have.
So the Lenovo I have over here also doesn't have those keys.
Yeah. I mean, I think for a while we thought that was going to be commonplace on Windows 8 hardware, but...
Right.
Well, it's good now because you don't need it anymore. Hey, by the way, blue Lucky Charms were added to the lineup, the diamonds, in 1975.
Good to know. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Just thought I'd throw that in. I looked that up.
They do taste better.
Oh, the blue ones. It was a big addition. Because they'd had hearts, stars, and clovers, but then they added blue diamonds. Purple horseshoes in 1984. Red balloons in 1989. Rainbows in 1992. Pots of gold in 1994. Okay.
We got to work Lucky Charms into a headline.
There's something going on here. Hey, we're in the kitchen.
I think Lucky Charms is apropos because the only way that anyone would ever find the charms is through luck. And, you know.
Yeah. Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
I wanted to say that, you know, overall, as we were talking about via Twitter yesterday, you know, the futuristic videos of Microsoft show this desktopless future, right? But I think it's funny how it's almost like Microsoft is trolling everyone by giving you this desktop tile in blue that you can make bigger than everything else. It's kind of like,
yep,
we're negating the need for this or whatever. So here, we can make this tile bigger for you.
So that's interesting.
How about this? It's like 600 by 600. Can you find that, you idiot?
So one of the things in blue is resizable tiles. You have smaller, but you also have bigger. And the desktop one can get bigger than anybody else?
Well, yep. I actually think that's temporary. So, you know, a lot of people have said, you know, there are new apps, right? There's the new video app, the sound recorder app, alarms, you know, things like that. And they support the three sizes, I guess, right? The three smaller sizes. And then the desktop app supports the really big size. But none of the built-in apps, the normal ones that we already have in Windows 8 today, like Mail, Calendar, People, etc., supports any of those changes. But that's because they're the old versions of those apps. Right? I mean, the ones that are in there are basically the RTM versions. So they haven't been rewritten to support the Tile.
So I wouldn't be surprised.
You could almost picture a very high-resolution screen with very big tiles that were, you know, doubly expressive, if you will, as far as the information they're able to display.
Well, that's this S7 is actually a good example of that, because it's, I think it's 1080p. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of resolution on this screen. And,
So go back to the start screen real quick.
Yeah, these are fairly small.
Yeah, so, I mean, imagine if those things were, you know, if they could be, some of them twice as tall, big squares, right. You know. The desktop is not a good example of this because there's no information to see there, but you could picture an RSS reader or your calendar or email or something, you know, having, I mean, almost there are almost mini apps running in little windows, if you will.
Well, if I make everything on the screen bigger, there you go. Now, they're not taking advantage of this extra space, but you could, because there's a lot of, you know, resolution in here.
Yep.
Yeah. But you also have, and it's this has got to be depressing to Microsoft, a ton of, you know, 768 displays even out there. I mean, just really low-res crap.
You know what, they knew they were getting into this. I mean, that's the baseline for Windows 8.
Just, you know, awful.
1366 by 768. Jeez, it's like, I just need to wash my hands.
Come on.
I mean, you know, the way that they have sub-pixel rendering on text, they've got great scaling on graphics. I mean, honestly, I think, you know, for the most part, that display res is not horrible.
768? No, because of ClearType.
Right.
ClearType helps. As you said, the subpixel rendering.
Yeah, I mean, in comparing the resolution of the Surface RT with the Surface Pro, you know, looking at the same apps side by side, I mean, honestly, there's minimal differences.
So what about RT? What is Blue, RT Blue? Now, we only are seeing our client. We haven't seen RT Blue, right? Do we know?
Right. I mean, we assume they're the same.
Right.
Yeah. Steven found a reference to RT Blue, though.
Right. We talked about that. Right.
Yep. So we know it's probably there still. And the reason I say probably is there was this really odd Digitime story that came out today. Why do I even put odd in front of it? It's always odd, right? Digitimes. Yeah. You never know really what you're getting.
They say Microsoft to merge RT into the next generation Windows OS.
What does that even mean?
Uh-huh.
Number one, right?
Uh-huh. Which direction is the merge?
Right.
Who's merging with whom?
And you know, I was talking with Paul about this today. I'm like, what does this even mean? Do they mean like the brands are going to merge? That makes a little bit of sense. Like they maybe stop calling Windows RT RT and they just call it Windows, maybe.
They're saying, according to sources from the upstream supply chain, which obviously know nothing because they're hardware manufacturers, although the PC supply chain had pushed Windows on ARM aggressively, Windows RT name has misled consumers, and I agree with this, into believing the operating system is able to support all existing x86 Windows programs. So the lack of apps as well as compatibility issues have damaged demand. That may be the case. I think what's damaged demand is the availability of Windows 8 Pro. Which has made people say, well, you know, why should I get RT? But you love RT, and I think I'm starting to hear from people who say RT is the future. Hmm. Right.
Yeah, but we live in the present, right?
Yes, we do live in the present. Last time I checked, yes.
So the thinking, people are jumping to this conclusion and saying that means Microsoft's not doing anything more with Windows RT. It's dead. They're just going to let the system sit on the shelves until their warranties run out. No, I don't think this is what's going to happen at all. I was kind of thinking about it almost like Windows NT. You know, Windows NT could support a lot of different architectures, MIPS, Alpha, x86. And maybe it's going to be like that. Like there'll still be different ports for different architectures, which is what you'd need. But it'll just be called one thing, maybe Windows 8 or Windows or something. I'm just guessing because I can't make heads or tails out of this Digitimes thing.
Yeah, it's Digitimes. Just ignore it.
I know.
It's like a random collection of letters and words.
their record on rumors is appallingly bad. Like, you know.
Yeah.
So sure. We can ignore them. So timeline for all of this? Because I want this. Yeah. But I don't. But I'm not. And I'm not a pirate. I'm not going to download and install the. I don't want to do that. So I want to.
I don't recommend it.
No, you guys have to, because that's you're reading the crystal blue balls. But
I'm sorry. Let's work on that one more time.
But as a user, you wouldn't recommend this.
No.
So
yeah, what the rumor has, the rumor mill says, there's going to be basically two internal milestones of Blue, and we've already passed milestone one. Milestone two is what they're working on now. That will result in something that's called an the milestone two is called the preview milestone. And then supposedly they give it out to the public and then at RTMs. So it's like milestone one, milestone two, RTM, boom.
So give it out to the public, you mean in preview form?
Yeah, preview form. So that's, I'm guessing when Microsoft has build, that could be either when they give the attendees the second preview, the internal milestone
that
preview.
That makes sense. That's typical, right? They do that typically at build.
Yeah, or the public preview. Like it's day one, boom, public preview. Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
And build is when again?
June 26th.
Not so far off.
The 8th, I think, yeah.
3 months. Yeah. Cool.
So we're
that sounds about
we're
right.
Shacking up at your house, Leo. You're gonna have to get ready for this.
Yeah, you can shack up at my house, and maybe we'll do the show. Is it? Did they say where Moscone? Where are they doing it?
It is at Moscone.
Yeah,
Moscone.
We'll do the show from Moscone. There's a lovely tea room right there. Actually,
I think we should come to Petaluma too.
There's probably a bar we could go to for Mary Jo's sake.
There better be.
Well, are you gonna do the Bill Blogger Bash?
So not exactly, because the Loudermilks won't be there. Those losers. And
wait a minute. Why aren't the Loudermilks going to be there?
Some kind of personal vacation baloney. It doesn't matter.
They're turning into the Winklevoss twins.
Yes, exactly. We'll do something, obviously. We'll have some kind of meetup there. It's still some ways out, so we haven't figured it out. And we're going to do some kind of Petaluma road trip.
We should definitely. We'll do the show. We'll figure it out. It'll be fun.
We'll do something.
And we'll do beer, of course. Whatever we do, we'll do beer. Steven, you're invited too. Come on out.
Yeah,
I'll be there.
Bring the fried chicken wings. I was watching CNN this morning, and they just there's a new term, drunkorexia.
Drunkorexia?
Yeah, people who
finally have a name for my problem.
It might be people who save calories so they can drink more beer.
Oh no, I don't have that.
And that's a weird thing. I think that's kind of normal, isn't it? No.
Well, now there's a name for what you think is kind of normal.
I wish there was orexia involved with it, like drink beer and lose weight.
Well, if you don't eat any more food.
Right.
Well, beer is food if you do it right, Leo.
Exactly. Beer is bread.
Yeah.
They interviewed an expert on drunkorexia on CNN. Let's take a break. let you think about that. Chew on that for a little while. Our show today brought to you by our good friends at Rackspace, creators of the Open Cloud. I think it's interesting they're advertising on this show. I don't want to impute anything, but they do point out that everybody's talking about cloud computing, but not all cloud providers are the same. Some use proprietary technology. I need dramatic chipmunk for this. Da-da-da-da. Some use proprietary technology. And why is that bad? Well, it makes it hard to move. Complicated, expensive to move your data should you want to leave. You're looking for, in my opinion, and I certainly recommend this, an open cloud solution built on open standards. Rackspace is the open cloud company. They co-founded OpenStack and now run the world's largest open cloud. So you're not locked into a single provider. You have the freedom. Freedom. That's what open is about. Freedom to move your apps, code, and your website between multiple OpenStack-based clouds, public or private, on demand or hosted. Rackspace.com. Build what you want, where you want, how you want, all backed by their world-renowned fanatical support. I want you to try today. Download the Open Cloud free. Racks, free as in beer, as well as free as in liberty. Rackspace.com/open. That's Rackspace.com/open. And thank you, Rackspace, for supporting Windows Weekly. We didn't really mention Windows Phone Blue, but there will be. We've said all along that's what blue could be everything, is everything.
Yeah.
When will that?
We don't know too much about that one.
And we don't, really. we don't know when it'll be or what it
probably
will be.
Late this year, early next. Hopefully at Build, they'll talk, like Paul was hinting, maybe SDK about for the phone. That would be about a good time to do that.
Build's going to be very interesting this year.
It is.
And I'm sure that's what Microsoft would like. And they're going to the return of XNA.
It's interesting they're doing it in San Francisco, too.
Why is that? What's important about that? Last year it was L.A., right?
Last year was Seattle. Then L.A. before that. It's interesting because they haven't had very many PDCs or any of their other big developer events in San Francisco for years.
I know.
Last time, PDC 2008 or 2003, one of those.
They haven't launched a version of Windows here. They haven't done nothing. They don't. Yeah. And this is Silicon Valley.
Yep. I think they want some of the Silicon Valley developers and startups to come to Build.
Get a little of that gold dust, that glitter on there. That's good. Especially for apps.
Yeah.
The app economy is powered out of Silicon Valley, I think. So you got to reach out here. You know, that's why Ford opened a office in Silicon Valley to encourage people to write apps for Fords. You got to, this is it. So I downloaded a new Windows Mail on Windows 8. I'm so excited it broke my Google, but that's okay. That's okay.
It broke your Google.
That's okay. That's Google's fault, though, right? Because they don't support EAS.
Opinions vary on the fault, but yeah.
You told me last week, you said, hey, you might get an update soon, and it did. It came out this week. It's an official update. You know, they don't push those, do they? You have to go to the store and see it.
Yeah, although, by the way, that's a feature of Blue. They're going to let you auto-install apps. Yeah.
They should, especially...
Well, there's a weird interface. It suggests, it says, do you want to auto-download the apps? And you say, yeah, I do. And then they don't install. You say, what the heck? And it says download, not install. Okay?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
So it downloads them in the background, and then when you go to install it, it's kind of sitting there locally.
Well, that was always the choice with Windows Update. Don't do it, download it, and then let me know you got them, or download them and install them. And I think that that's kind of a well-known standard in the Windows world. Just do it. Give me those three choices. Everybody wants one of those three, right?
Every time, you know, the apps on the phone are like that. Almost every time I pick up Windows Phone, it says, oh, you have an app to update. And I always think to myself, hey, just do it.
The only platform that does that is Android. Android will do that. And it's kind of a nice feeling. Wake up in the morning, especially with apps, because they're updated a lot.
Yeah, and I don't want to update all. I don't want to go into it and say yes. I want there to at least be a UI that says, turn that on. You know.
You know what? Although I think this is part of the enterprise heritage of Microsoft,
course.
Right?
Of course.
Like, no enterprise would want that, right?
IT guys hate that.
No.
Except I would think they would want that.
No enterprise is running
Windows 8.
Temple Run for Windows 8 or whatever.
It should be a switch. You could easily, it's not hard for me to think of a way you could make it palatable for enterprise. For instance, a global switch that could be set over the LAN. That's
like some kind of policy. If only Microsoft had management technologies.
Some group
of some
policy.
That they could use
so the
control.
IT guy downloads the updates, takes a look, bangs on it for a month or whatever, however long he or she feels it's necessary, and then flips the switch and instead of having to deploy it, which must be a pain. Especially if you have thousands of seats. That's why they're still running Windows XP.
Somewhere there's an administrator sitting over a console saying,
you're not getting that
mail update. Yeah. Sorry. Yep.
You're not going to have it. So what do we get? We got a new mail.
Yep.
New
calendar, new people.
New people. Yeah. Unfortunately, same friends. I was hoping the new people would upgrade my friends too, but didn't.
Yep. The Google story is complicated because Calendar is, to my understanding, is just off now, right? You don't get Google Calendar support anymore. I misunderstood this in the beginning. My understanding is that before you could have multiple Google accounts and the contacts from each would go in, but now only the contacts from the first will go into People. That's my understanding of how that one works. And then Gmail is still supported, but it's IMAP instead of EA.
Yeah, but that's fine. That's a good way to do it, to be honest.
Well, it's an okay way to do it. I mean, I just... The problem was, you know, with EAS is nice because you set that up in one place
and
one time,
everything,
and it blows across all the apps.
Yeah.
And the way Google's doing it now with all different protocols for every service, it's kind of a terrible thing to make a person go through that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's always been the advantage of Exchange, which is you get calendar, you get contacts, and you get email all at once. That's a nice thing to do. But Google, you know, understandably doesn't want to support EAS, I guess, understandably.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not even sure what to say to that. But yeah, okay. I mean, they don't want to support it either way, which is too bad. I hope that the situation is temporary and that, you know, by this time next year or sooner, that on Windows Phone and Windows 8 RT, that these things just work.
But CalDAV is the way they want you to do it now. Why does Calendar not support CalDAV? Or does it?
Google doesn't, does it?
Google supports CalDAV.
I think they're dropping support for that.
Yeah, they're moving to something else.
What do they want us to use? CalDAV's the standard.
They're moving away from it.
Not as into standards as you might believe, Leo. I think that their calendar support going forward is actually a proprietary Google thing.
That's not good. I don't like that, and it makes me not want to use Google Calendar anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's too bad.
Yeah, you're right. Wow. They're killing CalDAV.
So, you know, but the point being, though, just that this stuff is in sort of a state of flux. And we could always make this really general statement. You know, if you were to use Apple's email service, you know, whatever it is called now, you know, what is it called? iCloud or whatever. You know, obviously that kind of thing works best with Apple's stuff. You know, Apple's Mail app, Apple's Calendar app, iCal, whatever. You know, the Google stuff is going to work best with Google stuff, and the Microsoft stuff is going to work best with Microsoft.
It does feel anti-competitive because as soon as Google dropped EAS, Microsoft said, okay, CalDAV, we'll support CalDAV. And then, like, Google says, oh, and by the way, we're going to kill CalDAV, too, and you got to use a Google API.
Yeah.
That feels anti-competitive. That does not feel right, especially since CalDAV is an open standard that works. And by the way, Apple also uses that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what kind of a legal case you can make there because none of these companies have any sort of calendar, you know, monopoly or whatever.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it's anti-competitive.
It's interesting, though, on phone, even though Google's killing its support for CalDAV and CarDAV, they say that Microsoft's been grandfathered in and they're going to continue to support it for Windows Phone.
For phone only, though.
Right. Well, Windows client never said they would support CalDAV or CarDAV with Windows 8. They never said
they never really said much of anything, did they, about this?
No.
If you go back and look.
No.
Very vague.
I think Microsoft's, you know, I think Google is to blame for, you know, kind of monkeying around with what they're going to support standard-wise. I think Microsoft could have been way more clear about what was going to happen when this mail update got pushed out to users. Because a lot of people were surprised.
I knew I was going to get disconnected, but boy,
it's not even being more clear. It's that...
Warning.
They actually said when this thing arrives, it will still work. Oh. And when it arrived, it actually did not work. Right. And so if you were using Google Calendar through Calendar app, it just stopped working.
Did they say you were scroogled?
That's actually the name of the reminder tone.
That's really what's going on. Is these companies are being little
bitches.
Well,
at least there are no pawns getting screwed over.
And who gets screwed over?
Yeah, it's like little people running between Godzilla and you know, King Kong as they're fighting.
Yeah. We're getting squooshed. We're in the footprints going, no!
Yep.
Sorry, Mary Jo, Paul and I have watched far too many Godzilla movies.
Alrighty. How about Xbox Music? Let's get Paul rolling on that one. That got updated this week.
On the Xbox or on the desktop?
On the desktop.
So let me, oh, good. Let me try.
Xbox Video both got updated.
This is the old.
And all of the Xbox apps.
All the Zoom stuff. You know,
video, music, games, and Smart Glass were all updated. Curiously, not a single sentence of explanation from Microsoft about these apps, right? To this day. They all came out, I think, on Monday, Tuesday, whatever. They've never mentioned in any public forum that this has occurred. They've never described the changes. The changes as described on the app page in the Windows Store are incorrect.
You're kidding.
In many cases, date to the previous version. You know, people, they've added closed captioning. Nope.
That's old.
They added that in October, actually.
Wow.
It's kind of hard to say. Music is the one that I'm the most familiar with because I've been writing that book about Xbox music, which is my latest horror novel. And
I didn't know
it
that.
Is That's cool. slightly less horrifying than the original version, but is still horribly wrong. And so, like, there's some explanatory UI in there, which I think is a nice bit. They do automatic matching now to the cloud service, which is nice, but not they won't match music that's not in Xbox music. And the question that's been coming up lately is, you know, everyone goes in there and they're very excited that they can auto match, and then they auto match, and of course their Xbox music collection gets humongous. And now people say, well, how can I delete something from my collection? And the joke is that you can't yet. So
congratulations, that, you just ballooned your.
Yeah, so your Slim Whitman collection is going to be an Xbox Live forever. Congratulations.
Oh, God.
Sorry about that. You know, it is kind of a strange situation. So there you go.
There you have it.
What? I think the other apps, though, you know, music, or rather, video, smart glass, games. I don't believe there's anything major in those. You can send messages through Xbox Live now from the games app. I think it's the one thing I can think of off the top of my head, but nothing really major there.
Just launching my Solitaire collection just to see.
Oh, those apps were also updated, by the way.
Yeah.
Yep.
Solitaire, Mahjong, Minesweeper.
Love the Solitaire. Freecell, Spider, Klondike, they're back, baby. Mm-hmm. Even some new stuff.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is really surprising. They made a really big deal out of Mail Calendar and people being updated. And then they said nothing about Xbox Music, Video, Smart Glass, Minesweeper, Mahjong, or Solitaire.
Feature on Solitaire is so nice. That I've got the autumn leaves, and the leaves are falling as I play cards. It's so beautiful. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Just transfixed by that.
It's a yeah.
You're like a cat looking at like a laser pointer on the wall. You're just like instantly distracted.
Ooh, themes.
This time I'm gonna get it.
Themes. Love themes. Maybe I'll do the beach theme now. I could be at the ocean.
So I think the funny thing about these apps being updated, we've waited 5-6 months, whatever. So I'm happy to have any updates we can have. And certainly, especially in the case of Mail, which is the one really big update, a significant improvement in the app. But as is always the case, you probably notice this in any tech circle that, you know, the complaints are just so endless. You know, you update the calendar app in Windows 8, and I swear to God, the number one bit of feedback I've gotten about that is, yeah, what about the calendar in Outlook.com?
Yep.
You know, which has nothing to do with that app at all, nothing. But, you know, people are just so never happy. You know, even I raised when I talked to Microsoft about the Mail app. I said, so do you have a unified inbox view like you have a Windows phone? No, we don't have that. Okay. So do you have drag and drop support? So you can take the mouse, drag messages from the message list into another folder. And it's like, no, we don't have that. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to stop asking questions now because I can already tell how this one's going to go. But, you know, hopefully this is just the start of a kind of a snowball effect. And this stuff just keeps coming. Hopefully, he says. But
I got to say, the Mail app on the Surface RT now is actually usable. Mm-hmm. It's way faster, noticeably faster.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I had already migrated to Thunderbird, but I guess I'll try it.
Give it another try now. It was horrible before, but now it's pretty okay.
Cool.
Now it's just terrible.
No, it's not terrible.
It was horrific before, but now it's
not amazing, but it's been upgraded.
It's like when you get upgraded from sell to hold or to neutral or something, you know.
Cool. So it's faster. Oh, yeah, it is faster. Noticeably faster. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. No, it's definitely better.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, folders now, right? Yep. Folders got added and flags. Sure. So like a lot of granular features got added.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that needed to be
updated. That's a big one. That's the model I think we should be looking at for app updates going forward. That's what you want to see is exactly what's in Mail. I mean, I guess it's a shame that they had that much to add, but I'd like to see that much getting tackled. It's good.
Let's talk.
I was just going to say, I assume Stephen is now in a coma.
He doesn't care.
Still here,
he
man.
Left.
He doesn't care.
I'm here for the long haul, guys.
Yeah. All right.
All right. You have a fan in the chat room who's typing Microsoft Kitchen over and over and over again. I can't show it, but he is. Trust me.
I think that's Stephen.
Stephen, actually.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. Just remember me. Don't forget me. Don't forget me.
This is me.
There you are. I see you. I see you now, baby.
Yeah.
So, hi.
Hola.
He's playing cards. Admit it. You're doing the solitaire.
I'm playing cards.
He's like, actually, the update to solitaire is really nice.
It's beautiful. What is not updated that should be updated?
God.
Photo, well, you say?
Photo app would probably
it's
be the
photos app, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the big one. I mean, looking at it now, you know, I would also argue that the store app is borderline useless and that it needs.
It doesn't feel very good. I mean,
it's not. You could tell during the pre-release version that UI was never going to scale. Yeah. Like that, once you get past a couple hundred, 1,000 apps or whatever, it just doesn't make any sense. And if you drill into any area in the store, like just tap on games or something.
Yeah.
You
know,
just tap on the heading. Yeah. That view is worthless. And I'm sorry, but that is, you don't have to know anything about UI design to know that that's worthless.
Yeah. This is worthless. Adventure games alone. And I don't know why Farting Birds is in adventure games. So that's another problem.
And
so I thought, oh, maybe if I, you know, apps now. There's adventure games.
Right. That is just worthless.
Yeah.
And I, by the way, I'm sure I said this back in August or something. I mean, it's just.
Oh, no.
It was always worthless. It's always going to be worthless. There's no way. You have to change it. It just has to get better.
And it's okay, but I.
It's okay.
This does not help me with discovery, frankly.
No. That's the thing. Yeah. And even if you find a category, he's like, well, sports apps. I like sports apps. You know, you go into whatever the category is,
top
and then you
paid.
Get grid, like random grid of. Yeah, it's like. Useless. It's useless.
Yeah.
So, you know, the stores have been done before. I think it would pay to, I don't know, maybe look at iTunes, look at Google Play, look at how Amazon does, you know, figure something out. I mean, this is how they arrived at this. I don't know, but that's terrible.
It's important to get this right because app developers are going to say, look, you know, everybody knows that the way to get an app sale on Apple's iTunes is to get editorially highlighted. But they didn't put much space in for that. You know, this is the entire editorial highlight. Here in the front page, and that is so important for app developers, and when you get to, you know, this grid, apps just, you know, they're it's a blob. They're not going to be happy with that.
Blob,
that's not good. It's not good.
Terrible.
Yeah, yeah. I found this real lacking. In fact, I don't go into the store,
right?
And that's not good either.
I go, you know, it's funny. I go in and kind of compulsively every once in a while just to look. And every time I have the same reaction every time. It's like, this is awful.
I can't find anything. If I know what I'm looking for, like I type Twitter, that's not a problem. I can find it very quickly. But you don't go in there to browse. You go in there because you know what you're looking for.
Right.
It's too bad.
So maybe those are the two big ones. I mean, a lot of the stuff that's in Windows 8, the default apps are fine. You know, the maps, camera stuff is fine. The Bing apps are beautiful. That's probably most. You know, SkyDrive is fine.
The other thing that happens in the store, and I did this, I was looking for Age of Empires, and then it says, well, no, you can't get that in the store. We have an entry in the store.
Right.
But you have to
Not even slightly confusing, though, right?
Right. It looks like they're selling it.
I know.
So get app from publisher.
Yeah. And by the way, the publisher is the company that created the operating system. So...
Microsoft! Yay! Yeah.
Imagine Apple doing that. You know, like, oh, you want to get this app that we actually do make? Yeah, you're not getting it from us.
Right.
You have to go get it from us somewhere else. No, I mean, it's
store.
Yeah, it's silly.
Okay. Enough bitching about Windows 8. Let's bitch about something else.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I heard the word Gemini for the first time. Mary Jo Foley. Yes, since the launch of the Gemini spacecraft. It's the new blue office. Is that fair?
It is.
to call it the Blue Office or the Metro Office.
Yep. That's what I would call it. Yeah, so Gemini is, you know, when we were talking about all the different blue things, blue phone, blue server, blue this, blue that, everyone kept saying, what about Blue Office? Is there one? And I kept looking for hints about this. I bet Stephen Chapman was too. I could never find the two things connected. Finally, I got a tip from someone that said, you're looking in the wrong place. It's Gemini. Yes, that's what the code name is. And what's interesting is at first I thought maybe it was called Gemini because it was a twin of Windows Blue or because supposedly with Gemini, Microsoft's Office team is moving to a more of a two-year cycle of releases. But actually, why I think this is called Gemini is Microsoft is twinning its Office apps. So right now, the way that the core apps, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote work for Windows 8 and Windows RT is they're basically desktop apps. Although OneNote, there is a Metro version of that. But with Gemini, which supposedly may come as early as this fall, you're going to get the Metro versions of Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and an updated Metro OneNote. And so this is the twinning. You're going to have desktop and Metro. The Metro style ones are probably not going to be as fully featured as the desktop ones, I keep hearing, like more of a subset of what you get on the desktop. But the idea is they're going to give you finally the Metro style Word, Excel, and PowerPoint that you are waiting for.
Interesting.
That's Gemini. Yeah.
Huh. And I wonder if that'll be at the same time as an iPad version. In other words, just like let's do all the new touch versions at once, or
yep, yeah. That's one piece of speculation I heard is that because part of the whole Gemini mission for the Office team, I've heard from some of my contacts, is they're moving away from thinking of Office as a group that does applications for Windows, and instead they're seeing themselves as a team. Finally, seeing themselves as a team that does Office productivity
for everybody.
Everybody.
Interesting. Right. Yeah, boy, it's never been like that.
Nope, never been like that.
In fact, you had, you know, Mac versions just didn't match the Windows versions. And
yeah.
That, I like that. So Gemini. And you said this fall?
This fall. And then right after I wrote about this, Stephen Chapman found some references to Gemini.
There he is, smiling.
Yeah.
It's kind of fascinating. I mean, even today, there's certain searches that I set up that I check daily. And now that MJ put Gemini on the radar, just today, somebody updated their resume and I found the reference. And it was a fairly little detailed thing for what it was. So the Gemini talk is beginning.
Cool.
Yep.
Coolio.
Now, what was the second one you found? Stephen, you said you found a second one, right?
Yeah, it was. The first one was in regards to 365, right. Office 365 backend architecture changes. This one is about enhancing localization, or how did I put it? Ridding Office of localization woes. So looks like they're trying to make it even easier to deploy Office to as many places as they can with, you know, as little work as possible. So, yeah.
You know, can I ask you a question, Stephen Chapman?
Sure.
Absolutely. I feel like I'm asking you across a bunch of people. Without disclosing all your ways you do this, how do you find this stuff? Because when I was looking for Gemini, you go out right away and you find two things that I couldn't find. And I looked everywhere once I had that code name. How do you do it? How do you do it?
Are you looking in code strings? Where are you looking?
I know.
It's kind of like my view of search is different than the average person. To me, search engines, you know, they want to simplify things so that when you search, your answer is at the top of the results. But when you're talking about something like this code name Gemini, you have to filter out as much of the noise as you can. So it's basically just advanced operators in not only Google, but Bing and other references. I'll give one little tip here. Pay for a LinkedIn account because it lets you see private profiles, and I don't think
this is where you get all those job postings and things.
Yes, this is the low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
So that's a very good. But here's the thing, too. Interestingly, a lot of sites enable Googlebot to crawl without needing a membership or anything like that. So you can do a site:LinkedIn.com Office Gemini in quotes, and LinkedIn lets Googlebot crawl it without. So basically, that's how you can find LinkedIn profiles without even having a LinkedIn account yourself, searching for certain things. So it's just a little tip for interested folks out there.
I see. I assumed you were looking at code strings in code, but you're actually just searching places like you're searching the web.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Looking in documents, you know, it's not just this. This is kind of the low-hanging fruit part.
Right.
I really dig in and start going through documents and trying to come up with revisions and different ways they might frame the name. You know, maybe someone says office code name Gemini instead of Office Gemini. So right. I kind of try to come up with all these variables and search for all of them. So
clever. Yeah. Very clever.
I don't know. Yeah. You always find stuff like I'm like, okay, there's no references to it out there. And then 1 minute later, he's like, yes, there are. I'm like, okay, I don't know where you're finding these.
Very clever. And finally, let's see if we can get Paul to blow his stack.
Uh-oh. What happened? Is it about Good Friday? Because I hate that holiday.
No. It's about the New York Times. I'll give you a little hint.
Oh, yeah. That jerk.
Them. I love Paul's Twitter feed. It's always fun. See Paul get more. You know, you can watch actually chronologically as he kind of gets more and more angered.
You should see me at the morning. I'm lucky I haven't wedged my Kindle into the wall in my kitchen.
So this has to do with Microsoft, Windows Phone.
All right. So
BlackBerry. Tell us the story.
Frank Shaw published a post on the official Microsoft blog in which he described I wouldn't say successes so much as the progress that Microsoft has made on its current set of platforms. You know, Windows 8, Windows RT.
He's in charge of communications. That's his job.
But also provided some interesting information about the future and talked about how we're going to have a build. And he mentioned Blue. This is where
Blue got mentioned.
He officially mentioned Blue for the first time. This is where it happened. And it's funny because I read through this post and I don't latch on to any of the little tidbits that he puts in the beginning, because to me these are just, you know, like they're not particularly interesting. But one of the sentences says, Windows Phone has reached 10% market share in a number of countries, and according to IDC's latest report, has shipped more than BlackBerry in 26 markets and more than iPhone in 7. And so it's just kind of a, you know, just a reminder. You know, it's like they don't really talk about Windows Phone in positive terms very often as far as with numbers, you know, because the market share is basically 3%. I mean, there's not a lot to say there worldwide, but anyway, this is an IDC report that I guess divvies up the market by various countries, and in some cases, they're doing pretty good. The problem is people can't let that sit, right? Like, how dare you claim that this thing is outselling the iPhone? What markets exactly could Windows Phone be outperforming the iPhone? And so, you know, obviously you got the Apple blogger goons who kind of look into this, but you know, the New York Times asked IDC, and the New York Times, or rather IDC told the New York Times what those markets were. But the article, or the blog post rather, in the New York Times is just such an offensive example of something that happens too frequently in the mainstream media, where there's like this very clear Apple bias that occurs that is just painful and I think shameful in a mainstream media report. Because normal people who aren't in the industry read this and assume that they're just telling the truth, that there's a reason to question Frank Shaw from Microsoft, you know, reporting in the public official Microsoft blog that this guy would, of course, lie. You know, he referred to these stats that Shaw provided as factoids. Factoids are not facts. Factoids are lies. They're unverified, false. You know, they're fake. And, you know, that's an insinuation. I mean, it's disgusting. And what's interesting about this, by the way, is that Shaw claims that Microsoft, or Windows Phone rather, using IDC data, is outselling BlackBerry in 26 markets. But they don't defend BlackBerry. No one ever asked, what markets are we outselling BlackBerry in? It's only Apple. They're outselling Apple in 7 markets. So what are those markets?
Well, it's interesting because it's Argentina, India, which is a big market, Poland, Russia.
Also a big market.
Big market. South Africa, very big market. Yep. Ukraine.
And then he belittles the 7th market, which is really...
Central Europe. It's not a country.
Croatia, Central Eastern Europe, blah, blah, blah. But it's like the weird little... They talk about there's all these caveats, Argentina, Argentina, you can't count phones in Argentina. There's a huge gray market there, or as he calls it, a very significant gray market, as opposed to a normally significant gray market. I don't know why you have to have two ways to describe the same thing, but whatever. I find this kind of thing really awful, and it happened, unfortunately, I read the New York Times every day, and not every single day, but a couple times a week, I see this kind of thing. And it really bothers me. Not because Microsoft shouldn't be questioned, but because they only do it in this direction, ever. No one would ever take apart, no one from the New York Times has ever or would ever look at an Apple event or an Apple press release, they don't have blog posts, and pick out a sentence and then spend 1,000 words shitting all over it. They would never do that. They would never do it. They never have. There's no example of it. And so
I was stunned, though. Weren't you kind of stunned when I saw that statement from Frank Shaw? I was like, wow, Windows Phone really is winning somewhere? Where? Like, I
want to know what the 7 countries are.
I didn't disbelieve it, but I was kind of like, okay, but where?
Allow the New York Times to explain to you where those countries are, because there are countries where Nokia has traditional strongholds. Poor people, third world countries, people.
Well, total, it's always U.S. bias.
It's so awful. It's so awful.
I do have to say that market share in any event is not,
I actually am of the opinion that market share does matter strongly for very good reasons. I look at this and I think, Windows Phone is 3% market share. To me, that's the relevant number.
When it's in single digits, it matters.
By the way, there are people who would say, in other words, so I'm calling out the New York Times for bias, right? And people would say, Paul, you write the super safe Windows. Of course, you're incredibly biased. Look at all these examples of where you've, dump on Apple, blah, 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 But I also didn't write a crazy blog post saying, we're winning. Windows Phone is beating the iPhone in 7 markets. I would never write that post. I read that article and I kind of went, I'm sure it's true. It's meaningless. Not something I need to cover.
It's a marketing guy writing on the official Microsoft blog.
Fine.
There is an IDC report
that tells you that this is
I would expect true. Him to find whatever. He says the numbers are encouraging.
No, but the point is this.
Find that encouraging.
I love Windows Phone. I'm writing a second Windows Phone book.
Right.
If I was some crazy biased nut job, I would write a story about this, but I didn't because I don't think it's relevant. But for someone promoting the other side of the fence, the one who owns the market, to dump on someone who has 3% market worldwide and try to poo-poo the smallest chance that they've made any tiny percentage jump, I'm sorry. It's not just immoral. It's not just unprofessional. It's disgusting. This is disgusting. And there's no other way to put it. I'm sorry. It's disgusting. I don't know what there's no reason for this. Some Apple goon writing at iloveapple.com or whatever the stupid websites are, that wouldn't surprise me or bother me. I would expect those people to do that. But this stuff appears in the New York Times too much. And it's not, they have a higher responsibility.
Well, it's not in the print version of the Times. It's in the Bits blog. I know that doesn't.
Yep, it is. It's in the blog. Hook,
but it's not in the print version.
Well, by the way, I read it in the New York Times on the Kindle this morning too.
So it is in the print version then.
Yeah, that's where I saw
it. Oh, I thought the Bits blog was only online. All right.
So, Paul, the real question here is, how do you really feel?
Steven, for the past few years, I've been working on trying to communicate more effectively, especially when I'm outraged.
I think it's reasonable for the reporter to ask, and I commend him for doing the legwork. It's finding out what 7 countries it were. At that point, you go, India is not insignificant.
Yeah, I'm actually encouraged by this. I get why Paul is mad.
They got some ink.
I'm glad.
No news is bad news? Or
Yeah.
No, actually, like, has market share in India, Russia, South Africa. Like, that's great. It's surprising, given that all we ever hear are terrible stories. Yeah.
If it weren't for this, Paul, this Francis X. Shaw piece would have sunk without a trace.
You guys, I appreciate the glass half full stuff. But I do. All I'm saying is the only time I ever see more than two Windows Phone in the same place is when I go to a tech ed or a PDC or whatever they call them now. Build conference.
Come to the Twit Brick House. You'd be surprised. I think three of our staffers happily carry Windows Phones.
I would love to see Windows Phone be more successful. I think it deserves it. I think it's the superior mobile operating system.
It's got more than 10% market share at Twit.
Okay.
How about that?
But you know what? You guys must. I bet the rest of you haze those people continuously.
There's a little bit of it. Yeah. What is that you got there? No, in fact, Tony loves his eight.
The awesome video about sharing data on Windows Phone.
Yeah, the bump video. The bump. You saw that?
That was awesome.
Yeah, was that funny? Tony has a Windows Phone 8. Alex uses a Lumia 920. Mm-hmm. And they love it. And you know what? No, nobody does haze them anymore. After he punched me in the nose, I stopped. But no, I don't think they do get hazed. But this is a sophisticated group of tech users. You know, nobody's going to say, "Oh, you're using an iPhone or using an Android."
Again, that's my point.
In other words, BlackBerry.
To the layperson reading the New York Times,
right?
You know, there's no place for that. Right. Or that's not the place for that. I should say.
Yeah. Factoid is a good... I always thought factoids are true.
Everyone does. That's why the use of that word is insidious.
It is, because you're right. I looked it up, and it is a spurious fact. It means
falsehood, yes.
In fact, Merriam-Webster says, it's an invented fact believed to be true because it appears in print.
Right.
Huh. I never knew that.
I thought it was just trivial, but it's also spurious.
It's not a small fact. It's a non-fact.
Non-fact, yeah.
Well, now I'm insulted.
Presented as a fact.
Because it is a fact.
I'm insulted because my sister's boyfriend always calls things Foley factoids. Now I know that's not a good thing.
I don't think it's commonly known.
It's like the word ironic. Everyone misuses it.
I don't think it's commonly known. I bet you Nick...
Are you telling me that an editor at the New York Times...
Nick Wingfield knows. No. On that count, I would agree with you. I'm not sure I would agree with your outrage in general, but on that count, if he really did know that it means it's a lie,
my
that's
outrage
really
is righteous.
Right. You are right, my friend. You are right. Let's take a break. Come back with more. Paul Thurrott from the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com, home of outrage on the internet. Mary Jo Foley, all about Microsoft.com, home of peace, love, and Gemini. And the Microsoft kitchen man himself, Mr. Stephen Chapman, where he's cooking at msftkitchen.com. We got more with all three in just a bit. But first, a word from our friends at Citrix. ShareFile is a better way of sharing files, and it does work very nicely with Outlook. In fact, they have an Outlook plugin. But what you don't want to do, what they're really fighting against, is sharing files via email. And I think we've all learned by now that there are lots of reasons email attachments are bad and wrong. I've been saying don't use attachments for years because for a long time, that was the primary way viruses were spread. But it's also a problem for other reasons. We're sharing larger and larger files. I mean, an image out of my camera, 16 megabytes, that would be bounced back on most email servers these days. It's also insecure. Everybody along the way can read it. So it's like sending a postcard through the mails. That's why if you're sharing files, and especially if you're sharing files in a business where you are required or at least expected by clients and the federal government and so forth to protect the privacy of your emails, I always laugh when I see those attorneys' emails that say the above email is confidential and proprietary. If you got it by accident, please delete it immediately. Yeah, that's good. That'll work. No, you should be using ShareFile. It's a secure file transfer system built by business for business. When you're sending files, you want to make sure the information gets into the right hands, remains confidential. You want to keep control of it. One of the great things about ShareFile is you know who's opening it, when. You can even say things like how many times they can download it, for how long. You can expire the downloads. This is just so great. And it integrates right into your business. In fact, when you go to sharefile.com and do our free trial, there's a microphone. It says radio listeners. Click here. Click that. It's like the radio. We're talking. And you start your free trial. It's going to ask you what industry. Now, you don't have to specify, but if you do, that's a good idea. It'll customize it for your industry. Everything from accounting, admin services, advertising, architecture, audio, and that's just the A's, biotech, of course, medicine, tech services, web design, video. You'll customize it to fit your needs. Start using ShareFile free for 30 days right now. Visit ShareFile.com. Click that microphone up at the top of the homepage and use Paul and Mary Jo's offer code WINDOWS so they get credit for this. You'll see why millions of professionals, including me, rely on ShareFile every day. Every day I use ShareFile, I feel very fortunate that I finally found it. One of the nice things about ShareFile is I can use the ShareFile app, free ShareFile app on my phone and my tablet, and see what the files are. And if somebody, if I forget to share a file, which I frequently do, you know, they call me and say, hey, we were going to send this. Oh, I can go right on my phone and say, send that securely, quickly, easily. ShareFile.com. Paul Thurrott, a lot of people in the chat room are asking about your tweet.
Yep.
About that $99 Roku killer. What's the story, Morning Glory?
My tweet? What?
You tweeted about it.
Oh, that.
Do you have anything you want to say about it?
So Microsoft is going to announce a new Xbox this year, as you know.
Yes. And you think it will be a set-top box as much as a game machine?
They are going to release a new 360 at the same time.
Ah.
That will be priced like a Roku and obviously designed to do two things. One is to provide that backwards compatibility with existing games, but also to provide a set-top box like, you know, you're experience.
So you're saying it'll be a something like an existing 360 cheap. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, they already have a $100 one, but you have to commit to Xbox Gold for a while, right?
Right. So this one will just be a $99.
Just $99 flat, and it may not have a lot of storage, but it will play the game, so it'll have a disk drive?
I don't know anything like that. I presume it will, of course, to play the games, but...
Or will only play online. You know... That's one way to go is just to you know, make these older games be available online.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't know why they don't do that. Of course, I know why they don't do that. But the reason that the new Xbox will have an optical drive, just like the existing one, is because they have great Microsoft, that is, has a great relationship with the retailers. And right. they want to sell those
physical
copies.
You're
not going to have a Midnight Madness event virtually. You want people to show up at a Best Buy or whatever.
EA still loves those. They love those.
I think what you're going to see, though, is the window, much like you see in movies when they go to DVD or electronic distribution, that the window closes, you know. So Call of Duty 21 comes out this November or whatever, and the version, the electronic version, which they call games on demand, I think, maybe the window today is 4 months or 6 months, and, you know, maybe over time it goes down to 2 months or something. But they're not going to get rid of retail distribution of first-run games, certainly retail games. Either.
So $99 and it would have
you're asking me details. I don't know what it has. All I know is
how do you even know this? Are you just speculating or is this something you've heard?
I just answered this to a different question on Twitter, which is an answer I gave to Long Zhang, who's another blogger guy. We were sitting in Build or PDC press room one day and Long looked at me at something, some factoid, and said, "How do you know that?" And I reached across the table and shook his hand and said, "Hi, I'm Paul Thurrott. Nice to meet you."
It's my job. Thurrott. Paul Thurrott.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really explain that, but...
Okay, I wasn't asking...
I'm not making it up.
...to tell me your sources. I was just... That's what I was asking. Is this a speculation, or is this something you believe will happen?
Let me bend over and pull another factoid out of my...
That's a factoid! Factoid!
It's not a factoid.
It is not a factoid. I like this. I would... I love this. Now, I have... I'm a perfect market for this.
This is like a reply to someone...
It's not me, my friend. It's the
Twitter
chat room.
Public? What the hell? How am I just finding this out?
No, the chat room knows all and asks me to ask you. Somebody must follow you and the person you replied to. Okay, sir. But have you written an article about that?
No.
You also mentioned that the...
Pay attention, Leo. I throw these things out. Little bonbons.
That's why you want to follow him on the Twitter. You also mentioned that the Xbox launch will be pushed back. a little bit. Or the first announcement.
Yep. There'll be a lot of Xbox news this year. Let's just leave it at that.
You do know that Twitter is public.
Now I do. I'm just
I'm just saying. And people could even search and just read all this stuff, even though it's just replies.
It's, you know, it's embarrassing to be to be presented with your own tweets. Like, what awful things do I write to people?
Oh, so terrible. Oh, it's so much fun. I love it. I love it. And you get heated sometimes on the Twitter.
Yeah, I'm a person, you know.
There are some people who would like say, okay, I'm angry, but I'm not going to tweet. It's like drunk dialing.
I grab the beer and I go to town.
Your tip of the week, Mr. Paul Thurrott. Speaking of EA.
Something else I have not written about, but Microsoft has a blog post about the fact that there are a number of high-quality Electronic Arts games that are on sale this week only. And by this week, actually, there's only a couple of days left. I'm not sure when this ends exactly, but it might be like Sunday, that are 40% off. And these are games that everybody knows. Plants vs. Zombies, Battleship Monopoly, Tetris, Bejeweled Live, etc. So definitely, if you don't have some of these games. In fact, one of the games in here is one of the few mobile games I've ever actually finished, which is that Need for Speed game, which is fantastic.
And this is for Windows Phone?
Windows Phone, yep.
Cool.
I think all of these are Windows Phone, period. Like, they work across all of the versions.
Right.
I believe. Contrajour, which is an awesome game.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that is. I've played it on iOS, but not on Windows Phone.
Yeah, and this is a side tip. We already talked about this, but obviously a bunch of the Windows 8 RT built-in apps have been updated this week. And the weird thing about the way that Windows works now with these apps is that you read about this online, perhaps. You know, maybe you read my site or Mary Jo's site or Steven's site, and you said, oh, there's new apps. And you go to the Windows Store, and there's no new apps. And I do have a tip on my website about how you can trigger these downloads manually and get them immediately if they're not showing up immediately. Because I think what happens is I don't know how it pulls the service exactly, but, you know, these things will download in the background, and then they'll be advertised to you via the tile. But I noticed on my own machines, I did this with almost every machine I have, that not every one of these things showed up immediately. And so there is, in fact, a way. If you know there is an app update, I have a tip on my site about how you can trigger those things.
Cool.
Immediately. Yeah.
Cool. Your software pick of the week, an app that is one of my faves, has come to Windows Phone 8.
Yeah. This is like an old one from the Atari, basically. But it's, as is so often the case with Windows Phone, unfortunately, an old iOS game is now available. But in the good news department, it's free. And it is Windows Phone 8 only. And actually, somebody pointed out to me on Twitter today, speaking of Twitter, that apparently this is not available for really low-end phones. So if you have like I have a Lumia 620, which is kind of a really low-end Windows phone, it only has a certain amount of RAM, not enough to run this game. So I guess you have to have an 8X or a 920 or something of reasonable horsepower. But
yeah, it's because it's 3D. It's, you know, real-time 3D rendering.
But this is,
and all
you know, this is one of those super addictive.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Infinite run type games. Yeah. And, you know, my kids, every day, my son was literally displaying this the other day. I mean, it's super popular.
It's very hard, too. Now, is this Temple Run 1 or Temple Run 2?
It's 1, so. Yeah. Oh. I know.
So I shouldn't be showing Temple Run 2 on iOS right now.
We'll get that in another 18
months. That's just making people upset. All right.
Well, the hope and the theory is that now that this stuff is starting to appear on Windows Phone,
it won't take long. I think the big port is getting Temple Run, and then they just, you know, update the assets.
It's great, though, and it's, like I said, it's free. So if you can get it, you should get it.
That's good news. And get Plants vs. Zombies, too. It's on sale. Although I hear there's a new one coming. That's one of the reasons, perhaps.
Of course there is.
But if you've never played it before, it's new to you, and that's what really counts. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I take you to Mary Jo Foley, who is the queen of enterprises, and she will give us our enterprise pick of the week. Sorry. Drunkorexic.
The enterprise pick of the week comes courtesy of our guest today, Stephen Chapman. So one of the things Steven did when he got the leaked Blue build was he tore it apart, basically, and looked for all the Blue references. And what he found was really interesting on the server front, because we've been talking on Windows Weekly about there being a Windows Server Blue, but actually there are going to be a lot of Windows Server Blues. And he found the links to these and the mentions of them in the build. So he found Windows Blue, Standard Server, Enterprise Server, Data Center Server, and Web Server all mentioned. And, you know, these might be placeholder names because when Microsoft came out with Windows Server 2012, it changed the versions, the names of the versions and what was in them. So right now in Windows Server land, you have Standard, Essentials, Data Center, and Foundation. So I'm thinking these are mostly placeholders showing us that, not too surprisingly, but good to have confirmed, there are going to be multiple Windows Blue servers that come out. And the rumor is that Windows Server Blue comes out at the same time as Windows Client Blue. So it could RTM as early as August of this year. And none of the server builds have leaked yet. But I think there probably would be some kind of a public preview of at least one of these Windows Server Blues coming up.
Very cool.
That's your tip.
Very cool. I can't wait because, you know, I run Windows servers. You know who does run Windows? I don't. I lied. But you know who does? And it just upgraded. And it was very interesting. A nice conversation. Steve Gibson has upgraded to, you'll be very happy to hear, Windows 2008 server RS2.
R2. Yeah. He's getting there.
That's as far as he's going to go. You never get him on the latest.
That's it. He's done.
Oh, wow. He just upgraded to that.
Yeah.
He's of the opinion, which I have mixed feelings about, that the new stuff is never secure, that you have to wait a while for stuff to get patched and fixed and secured. Sure. But it goes both ways.
Yeah. He's going to get way behind now if we start doing this annual upgrade.
I know. I was shocked that he went to R2. Right. It's like he said, well, I tried R1, but it doesn't have SSL2 or something. Code name pick of the week.
I don't know if I'd call this a code name or just some interesting names coming again out of the Blue build. And these two are courtesy of another friend of ours who's a Microsoft watcher, Sandro Villinger. He just posted an article today on itworld.com talking about two things he found in Blue. One is something called Base FS. And we already know about ReFS, which is the new file system that Microsoft introduced with Windows 8. Base FS... he found all these links to it in the code, and no one can figure out what it is. I think even Stephen Chapman was stumped. He had some ideas, but
there he is, stumped.
I asked around a little bit, and I'm hearing that BaseFS is an internal name that the team uses for basically kind of like a shorthand for shared functionality between all the different file systems. So it's more kind of like an internal usage type thing. But to me, the even more interesting thing that Sandro found is min kernel references. So remember MinWin, this whole idea of componentizing Windows and using the common core?
Yeah.
So supposedly, I hear, min kernel is the common kernel that is across x86, ARM, phone, and Xbox. So he found a reference of this, many references of this, inside the code when he took it apart. So very, very interesting. Some interesting cross-kernel things are going on in the Microsoft Windows land. Not too surprising. Surprising that Xbox is on there, though. Kind of an interesting aside.
Yeah.
What does it mean, Paul Turan? What does it mean?
I would just point back to our earlier discussion about...
Say no more, more.
Probably pretty close to exactly what's happening.
Therat. Paul Therat.
Hello.
Hello. You must know me. Bonko. And it wouldn't be a Windows Weekly without a perfect beer to accompany the Windows Blue announcements.
Yes. This could not be a more perfect beer. Blue Sunday Sour is the name of the beer. Think about it. Blue leaked on Sunday. Oh. Sour Faces in Redmond.
Oh.
How perfect.
Oh. From the New Holland Brewing Company.
Yeah, I've never had this beer, but a bunch of people in my Untappd feeds have had this. And what it is a wild ale from New Holland Brewing. It's also got like some oak in it and sounds like a really interesting beer. Like I'm dying to try it once I started reading about it. But the name just got me. I'm like, we got to make this the beer pick of the week, even though I haven't tried it. And I love sour beers. They're always excellent. So, yeah, couldn't have a better name for the blue show this week.
We talked about sour beers last week, too.
Yeah.
I love sours. Yeah. It goes well with peppery cheese, Monterey pepper jack, pungent gorgonzola or Limburger, and salad.
Apparently. That's what I have with my beer, salad.
Salad. Yes. Because you're beer orexic. Hey, thank you, Stephen Chapman, Mr. Microsoft Kitchen, MSFTKitchen.com, for joining us. Great to have you on the show. Thanks for your Blues Clues. And no longer do we have to speculate. We know there is a blue.
Oh, we just have other things to speculate about.
Yeah, well, there'll always be something. Always be something. Paul Thurrott is at the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com, and the author of many books. I didn't know you were doing a music book. That's cool.
It's just a quickie ebook.
It's an ebook? Okay.
Freebie.
And Windows.
I'm banding music about as I do.
Windowsphonebook.com.
Little factoids about Windows.
Yeah, factoid. It's a factoid book.
Little factoids I like to throw out.
Oh, you see, you're a writer. You value words, and you knew when others did not the true meaning of the word factoid.
Screw you, New York Times.
Mary Jo Foley writes about Microsoft for ZDNet blogs at allaboutmicrosoft.com. We do this show Thursdays, 11 a.m. Pacific, 1800 UTC. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time on twit.tv. Watch live if you can. But if you cannot, on-demand audio and video versions will be made available to you.
We want nothing to do with you.
No. If you cannot afford one, we will provide one for you. Just download it wherever you find finer podcasts or at twit.tv/ww. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly. We are ready to begin if you're ready to begin.
I'm just going to play with my video settings.
Okay. Well, I'll wait. Here, let's
No, I'm good. This is all I can do.
And I think that's just the camera is just not, you know, it's an earlier model and it's just not that good.
It's not that hazy in my room in real life.
Good.
Is it smoky in here?
The white balance is off. There seems to be a ghost on some sort of exercise equipment in the back there. I don't know.
I think we can accept the changes need to be made.
Is that the forklift they use to lower you into the water so you can bathe like a normal person? Is that what that is? Strange. And I like it that you put a napkin over it because that makes it much less obvious.
It's a towel.
It's part of, Stephen, just so you know, part of the fun of the show, pre-show, is mocking Paul's shot. We call it the MPS version, portion of the show.
That's low-hanging fruit, though.
It is. I'm not going to say anything about
it. I'm selling the space behind me. You know, if somebody wants to send me a giant banner I can hang and hide all that stuff.
I think you should. Well, also, you know, Fan du Monde has been getting a plug for years. It's time for somebody else. Get some.
Yep. I'm going to be like a NASCAR guy. By the time this is over, I'll have like 33 logos back there.